Hi, welcome to Extra Time. I'm John Raymond, the web editor for sport here at the National. I am joined here with Kevin Jeffers, our designer. We're going to be talking about the NBA playoffs, which just started here over the weekend. Thanks for joining me, Kevin.
Thank you for having me.
Always. Let's just get right down to the nitty gritty. There's about six teams by my count, maybe seven, maybe eight if you want to be generous to some of the other clubs. But there's about six teams I think that really have a chance, or an outside chance at least. And I would say that's Cleveland, Atlanta in the East, and in the West, Golden State, San Antonio, the Clippers, and the Rockets. So
that's seven.
Let's focus just to start on those six.
Okay.
That's six. What do you?
No, I count the Warriors as two teams because I think they have a double good chance of anybody because they just look unstoppable.
Well, that's one way to do math. All right. Okay, let's start with the Warriors then. Why are they unstoppable?
They're the deepest team by far. Their second unit would be the four seed in the East just by themselves, and they can bring them in at any point in the game and be better than any other second team on any other team. And the only team that comes close when it comes to depth like that are the Spurs, and they're going to be bloody and beaten by the time they could even get to the Western Conference Finals because they unluckily drew the Clippers, who looked amazing in their game one win over the Spurs, and then they would have to go through Houston or Dallas. The Warriors have a much easier road to get there. The bracket couldn't have lined up easier for Golden State, and they were already, a 67-win juggernaut in the regular season. So as amazing and deep as the Western Conference was this year, the bracket really favors Golden State. They're already up 2-0 over New Orleans.
I want to disagree because that makes for more interesting banter, but I don't. I think it would stretch the imagination to say that any team other than Golden State right now is the odds-on favorite. I will say from, we've watched their first couple games. It's hard to say what their playoff upside is.
Because they haven't really been tested yet.
They played these first two games against New Orleans, and especially last night in game two, I watched a bit of that, and there were stretches, and they were down, I think, like 12 at one point or something. There were stretches where they looked almost disinterested, almost a little bored, and they came back almost without hardly even seeming to try. So, yeah.
They can flip that switch, and that's what makes this team special.
I suppose so, yeah. I guess it'll be interesting to see whether they get, if they have any kind of real challenge either later in this series or in the next series, which would be against Memphis or Portland, probably Memphis, by the way their first game looked. I wonder if flipping the switch will be that easy against a team like Houston or the Clippers or the Spurs. Speaking of the Clippers and Spurs, that series is, I think, without a question, the best one in this first round. And we saw that game one where the Clippers won by 15. And I don't know about you, I was incredibly shocked that it played out that way.
That was peak Clippers. That's exactly what that team could be at their height.
Definitely.
That's what it might take to beat the Spurs. I think the three best teams in the NBA are the Warriors, the Spurs, and the Clippers.
Yeah.
In that order.
And it's weird that two
of the top
of
three are
playing
each other to death. Game seven, by the way, will be at the same time as Mayweather-Pacquiao. So
yeah, that's just going
to be interesting.
Sports overload on that night.
Yeah.
But speaking of peak Clippers, is that something that they can sustain over a seven-game series, or
we'll see.
Even farther over, four series to get to the finals and win an NBA title?
I think it will take seven to beat San Antonio, just like I think it'll take seven for San Antonio to beat the Clippers, and then they'll get James Harden in the next round. I think the winner of this series goes to the Western Conference Finals, looking far ahead, probably against the Warriors. The brackets are so ridiculous in the NBA, the way they seed the winners. It's absolutely absurd that Portland finished with, I think, the sixth best record, and they're the four seed just because they're the lone representative from their division.
Yeah, that's
in the
a
Western
whole
other
worms in that one.
It's unfair for... It's great for us to have this amazing, finals quality series here in the first round, but it sucks for the Clippers or the Spurs that, wow, we have a long way to go and we have to start with one of the best teams in the league. But just watching the Clippers the other day, Griffin looked like he did last year when he was an MVP candidate. Paul looked like the MVP candidate he should have been considered this year. And DeAndre Jordan continued his excellent season. Jamal Crawford is their only bench, but he looked amazing. I think he's the key for the Clippers. If he can continue that kind of production, then they're as good as anybody in the West or in the league.
That's what was – I mean, I wrote about this for our paper just the other day, but that's what was so surprising to me about that first game, because I – anticipated, and perhaps incorrectly, that even if the Clippers' best players were playing at their best, San Antonio has such an edge in terms of depth and in terms of being able to carry, you know, five quality players on the court at all time, that I thought that even, you know, if Paul had that kind of game, if Griffin had that kind of game, that San Antonio surely at least wouldn't be beaten by 15.
Yeah, we look at the Spurs and we see the team that is supposed to be here. That's exactly what the teams playing the Spurs see too. And that's why when you look at the Warriors, they were incredible in the regular season, but you don't look at that team, you don't look at that uniform, you don't look at that court and see NBA Finals. You see that with the Spurs, and that's why it's so hard to envision them losing, but it's very much a reality, especially against the Clippers when they play like that.
Well, especially after they're already down 1-0. I mean, you know, you can't have too many more mistakes like that game one. Do you think, though, that they can make the... I mean, obviously they can, but what is the odds that we saw something real in that game one, that we didn't just see a flash of what the Clippers can
do? I don't think
it
was a flash, but I think we saw the epitome of what Clippers what we saw from the Clippers, what the Clippers want the Clippers to be, basically. Right. And even at that peak, I could still see the Spurs flipping the switch and still beating them. Kawhi Leonard got schooled a little bit by Chris Paul the other day.
That's
not going to happen seven games in a row.
The most remarkable part. He got, especially outside, they hit all these threes where he just had nothing against their screens outside. He would run straight into whoever, you know, DeAndre Jordan or Griffin, whoever it was, setting a pick for Paul outside the three-point line. And he couldn't get under it, and he couldn't get around it. He just got blocked every time. It was I didn't know he struggled that
bizarre.
Much against screens, or that he could struggle that
but
much against screens.
You know, that's as much a credit to Chris Paul and the spacing he was able to create the other night more than it is a detriment to Kawhi Leonard.
Right.
You know?
So I guess you know, the Spurs, they'll need to make some kind of adjustments. But
I
think we both
faith
have faith here. That's something they can
when
do.
When in doubt, trust Pop, trust Duncan, trust the five-time champions.
That is, absolutely. There's no, I don't think, especially one game, you know, we're sitting here. Let's not get carried away
with ourselves.
No,
I fully anticipate seven games.
The Rockets, to talk about them for a second, they seem to have been, I kind of mentioned them myself as the sixth team in that list, but they're the second seed. They had a player who maybe should win the MVP, James Harden, and Dwight Howard he seems a little springier in the last couple of weeks. Are we not talking about them enough?
I think we're talking about them the right amount. They were able to win pretty handily the other night because of Corey Brewer and contributions from players that aren't James Harden or Dwight Howard. I think Harden deserves the MVP because he was able to take that roster to the second seed in the greatest conference in NBA history, but I don't know that they're built to last in the playoffs the way those other three teams in the West are.
Yeah, if the Clippers, I kind of tend to agree with you. I want to believe in Harden, and I think it's
I keep
dangerous
going back
to
last year's
to discount
Harden
him.
In the playoffs. Remember how he just broke down, especially defensively? It's one thing to put up those kinds of numbers in the regular season by yourself, but to do it in the playoffs where, you know, every team is bringing their best at all times.
Right, exactly. If the Clippers have issues with depth, then the Rockets really have issues
with
depth.
Josh Smith is their sixth man.
Okay, so we've got the Rockets, the Clippers, the Spurs, the Warriors. Just to wrap up the Western Conference here, are the Grizzlies being unfairly discounted?
I just think they're too banged up. They would need Conley at his peak. Their defense can be as good as anybody's, but they're not going to be enough for Golden State in the second round.
And Portland, I think losing Wes Matthews and.
Yeah,
and then after that, losing Aaron Aflalo, they just don't have enough firepower there.
I agree.
So Eastern Conference, which is highly relevant to your rooting interests as an Atlanta fan, it seems to come down to just the Hawks and the Cavs. And I don't think, I like the Bulls. I like what they have. But I'm not going to, if I'm one of the other Eastern Conference teams, I'm not losing sleep over the Bulls.
Chicago doesn't have enough offense. Washington probably has the third best roster in the East, but maybe the worst coach. They just fall apart in the fourth quarter every game. It really is just between Cleveland and Atlanta. And my heart wants to believe Atlanta has a chance, but they're banged up. They lost their backup wing defender in Tabo Cephalosha, so they're going to have problems with LeBron if they both make it to the finals. I just don't see any team beating Cleveland at this point, as much as I hate to say it.
It's hard to envision that with the way LeBron has played in the last 2-3 months.
Love looked really great the other night.
Kyrie Irving has been fantastic. Yes. I mean, if the Heat were able to get to the finals last year, and they were exposed a bit in the finals by San Antonio, but if they were able to get there through the East, accepting the Hawks and what they've done this year, the East is still pretty much the same beast it was last year. And if the Heat were able to get to the finals, there's almost no reason to think that this Cleveland team.
Well, I think Atlanta poses more of a challenge to Cleveland than say Indiana did to Miami last year. If we're comparing the two seasons, it will be a 6 or 7 game series should the East come down to Atlanta or Cleveland. I think people are discounting my Hawks a little bit too much, but that's coming from a Hawks fan.
This is more of a hypothetical, but I am interested, and I think like you said, they're a little banged up. They're a little war weary at this point, but if we had the Hawks from say 3 months ago, if the playoffs had started then, and they were playing Cleveland as they are about now, how do you think that series?
Well,
would have gone?
I think Atlanta at their peak this year was the A1 to the Warriors A as far as best teams in the league. And they didn't have Tabo Cephalosha at that point, so they are able to turn it on with the roster as constructed. I'm curious to see if they themselves can flip the switch and dispose of Brooklyn and probably Washington in the second round the way they should be able to. And
yeah, I mean, they have an easy path to the finals. That they have that going for them. I don't think they should stumble against Washington. I like the Washington's players, but like you said, Randy Whitman's just a really bad coach. Yeah. So.
Apologies to Randy Whitman.
Apologies to Randy Whitman, his friends and family, but he's not a great NBA
No, it
coach.
Really is a two-team race in the East. We're hardly the first to say that, though.
We don't have too much time here, so let's just get it out there. It seems that we both think the Warriors are the best team, but do you think the Warriors will win? They obviously have, I mean, like you said, Cleveland, what they might have going for them is simply a very easy path to the finals, and the Warriors will have a very difficult path to the finals, and that's not to say anything that, the Spurs or Clippers or even Rockets or Hawks can't get to the finals. So what do you see there?
I see Warriors-Cavs. My heart says Hawks-Warriors, but I could just as easily see the Clippers or Spurs if they're not, just beaten to death by the time they meet Golden State. This Clippers team, I'm anxious to see a couple more games if they can keep that up, because they could be special.
Yeah, my heart wants the Warriors to win. I grew up in the Bay Area, and I guess my head says it makes the most sense, but I also don't want to say they're odds on, impossible to beat at this point, because it just makes me seem like a biased kind of homer. So I'm going to try to avoid that, and I'll say the Cavs. I picked the Cavs actually before the year. I thought that they would be the best team with LeBron having Love and Irving there, and I'll stick with that for now. So that's our wrap of the NBA playoffs at this point. Hopefully we can come back in a couple weeks and reassess how wrong we were about everything.
Possible.
Again, I'm John Raymond, the web editor for sport here at the National. I've been joined by Kevin Jeffers. You can find the podcast at the National Sport Twitter account, which is NatSportUAE, or the National Multimedia account, which is at NSVUAE. This podcast has been produced by DT Unikrishnan and the National Multimedia Desk. Thanks for listening.